that last line. I don't know if I can read after that, singing that last song. That was tremendous. Get a little emotional. Well, let's turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And before we read God's word, let's open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Oh, Father, we thank you that each and every one can have their own Bible. They can learn about thee. They can know the truths. They can know where they stand before thee. We just pray this morning that your name might be honored, that you might get all the glory. And we do pray for your help and blessing this morning, and we give you thanks and praise. We do pray, Father, this morning for our dear sister Florence. We thank you that we had the privilege of knowing her for so many years and the blessing she's been in this meeting. We do pray for her and at this time in her life. Father, we know that there's a finish line, and we pray, Father, for her and for each one here that we might finish well. We pray, too, for Jeff and June Spicinger as they're facing another trial. Oh, Lord, what a trying, what a weary, what an upsetting thing. But we pray that they might lean heavy on thee and that you would help, that you would fight the battle for them, we pray. Pray, too, for Linda Billett and for others, Father, that are going through trying times. We think of Bonnie, and as been mentioned, her brother's gone, and we just thank you that he's gone to be with thee. We just pray now that you would bless your word as we read it, and we give thee thanks and praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I'll apologize beforehand if I don't pronounce some of these words correctly. I got to take care of something here first. That's, you do it right in the speaker, right, or mic, right? First Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they gathered together at Socloth, which belongeth to Judah, and encamped between Socloth and Achaziac in Ephesadamon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and encamped by the valley of Elab, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. They're about 15 miles south of Bethlehem. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between. And the there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had an helmet of bronze upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had skin armor or shin armor of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin of bronze carried between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out and set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man went among the men as an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the name of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn. The next unto him was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, take now for thy brethren an ephod of parched grain and 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was coming forth to fight and shout for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left the baggage in the hand of the keeper of the baggage and ran into the army and came and greeted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke the same word as before, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man who has come up and surely defieth Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard it when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab was angry, his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down here? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him to another and spoke after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, For thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant hath kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul answered to David, So Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of bronze upon his head. And also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor, and he attempted to go, for he had not tested it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even his wallet. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore he ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sharon, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistines in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse of Bethlehem. I didn't know if I should read it or not because it did take a long time, but I trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The prominent characters in the story, of course, are Goliath and David, but there's a lot more to this story than that. But, you know, it's interesting. I had a volunteer that to give you an idea how big the people were in that day, I'm going to ask Jordan if he would come up. Jordan is about the right size to be a David. I have to get my tape measure right here. So Goliath, if you can see the top of my tape measure, it's sitting on the floor. Okay, come on over, David. So here's about the difference, okay? This would be about the difference between David and Goliath. That was about the average guy in that size. Thank you. And then if you get an idea how big he was, if you think about Dean's weight and Nate's weight and Jeff's weight, that might have been how much he weighed if he was kind of a slender guy, okay? If he was really, you know, really built like Dean, he might have weighed 800, 900 pounds. He had roughly, one book said 150, another book said 175 pounds of armor on. 175 pounds of armor, that's about how much I weigh, okay? That much armor. And his spearhead was between 15 to 20 pounds. Now, I got a 3-foot pipe wrench at home, and I was going to bring it just to give you an idea of the weight. It weighs 19 pounds. And his shaft of his spear was about 2 inches around. It was like a weaver's beam, and we're not quite sure how long it was. And, you know, I imagine when he first come out, when he first came out, you can see what happened. Saul and all Israel were dismayed and greatly afraid. And after 40 days, it hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. And when David heard it, you know, when I outlined this, I thought about the Philistines. I thought about the Philistines were like bad tenants, okay? I don't know if anybody here rents property or not, but if you get a bad tenant in it, I used to work for a big company, and they had a lot of apartments, and they would trash the apartments if they didn't get the best people. And I've heard different stories where they weren't supposed to smoke, and they smoked marijuana in the apartment, and they bad-named the people that owned the property. Well, the Philistines were like that. They were living on Israel's property. Now, they were there first. But Israel couldn't get them out. Israel couldn't get them out. And we could go on. We could look at the Philistines. But the Philistines are a lot like the world. They're a lot like the world. You know, and John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I was in ninth grade in 1963. That was when Madeline Murray O'Hare, I managed to get the Bible out of school. What happened in 73? Roe versus Wade, right? What's happening in school now? It's terrible. Where I went to school, I went to Waynesboro Area Senior High, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I went to visit a friend who was actually the maintenance man at the orphanage I was in. And the principal went to the church where they went, of Waynesboro Senior High. And the board said, you're going to bring in the gender stuff. You're going to teach this, and you're going to teach that. He said, not in my school, you're not. You know what happened to him? He was moved to a different building. This is coming into the schools, and there's a lot in there. It's already there. They're teaching things that shouldn't be taught. I mean, guys are coming in posing as girls, and girls are posing as boys, and there's even people posing as cats. Cats. When I went to school, if that would have happened, 11th and Clay Street would have been where they would have gone in Harrisburg. But the Philistines are like the world. They're constantly fighting against the people of God. And, I was reading a book about how Hitler took over. And it's interesting. It's interesting. If you would read that book, you would say, well, this is how it's happening in America. The world is pressing in on us. And Goliath's a pretty good picture of the devil. He's a pretty good picture of the devil and his constant, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's like John 10, where it says, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's a picture of Goliath. It's sad that Israel is in the state that they are in. But there had been disobedience. There was incomplete obedience with Saul. If you would go back to Joshua chapter 7, you could read the story about Achan. Israel was told, don't take the accursed thing. Don't take it. These things, you'll be accursed. But Achan took it. Achan took it and he took some gold, he took some silver, he took a nice outfit, and he buried it under his tent. But he caused Israel to be defeated. He caused 36 souls to be killed. He caused Israel to be discouraged. There was sin in the camp. God hates sin. God can't use sinners. And they had to deal with it. And it came at a high price. Not only Achan was killed, but his whole family was killed. They took everything that he had, all the animals, his tent, everything, and they stoned him, set him on fire. They had to deal with sin. God deals with sin. There was another story. In the beginning of Samuel, Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were living immoral lives. They had contempt for the sacrifices. And Israel had gone out to battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines Philistines were winning. They had killed 4,000. So they said, bring out the ark. They didn't say, let's inquire of God. Let's get God on our side. God can beat the Philistines. But they brought the ark out. And the Philistines heard the shout that they made, and they said, don't harden your hearts. The God of Israel has come in. These are the gods that killed Pharaoh. They were shaken. They knew about what happened in Egypt. They said, fight. Fight for all you're worth. We don't want to be their servants. And it's sad because of the sin. Eli had not corrected his son. He had not stopped them. Hophni and Phinehas were killed. The ark was taken. Eli died. And even Phinehas' wife, who was pregnant, she went into labor, and she died as the birth of the child, and she named the child Ichabod, the glory is departed. And Saul was told to go in chapter 15, and he was to destroy the Amalekites. He was to utterly destroy them. And he brought back the king, and he brought back the best of the sheep and the oxen. And when Samuel come, he had been praying for him all night long. Saul said, we did what you told us to do. He said, what is the bleeding of this sheep that I hear? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. They had brought him, the excuse was that. There was sin. They were unable to face the enemy because of sin. David had been Saul's minstrel when he would get all upset in chapter 16, the end of chapter 16. He was a great musician. But he had left and went back to Bethlehem. He was keeping dad's sheep. So he comes along and he hears what Goliath says. And it's interesting. Saul was dismayed and greatly afraid. Is the like sudden paralyzing fear. I mean, you saw how big Jordan was compared to my tape. This guy, no doubt, would scare most of us. And each day he probably got louder. He probably got louder, more bold. Give me a man, he would say. And Saul was in charge. Jonathan was there. Abner, the captain of the host, was there. David's three older brothers were there. Give me a man. Can you see it? Saul saying, I need a volunteer. There's the tall guy. How about we get Tim to go fight Goliath? Or that guy in the back row back there. But there was, you know, it's interesting, verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw Goliath, they fled from him and were very much afraid. I talked to my son-in-law, because he's an archaeologist, and I was trying to get the right height, you know, how big the tall the people were in that day. He said most women were like 4 feet tall, and the men were not much more than 5 feet. The average was 5 foot 3, 5 foot 4, something like that. And he said Saul could have went out. Jonathan could have went out if he had been living for the Lord. If he had the faith. You know, David, it's interesting. There's two armies, of course, the Philistines and Israel. There's actually two kings. Now, David wasn't going to tell Saul, because Saul would have tried to kill him, knowing that he was his replacement. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice. There's two responses. Saul was dismayed. He was paralyzed with fear and greatly afraid. But David, it's interesting. David spoke to the men in verse 26 who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Or defy the living God. It wasn't just the armies. It was his God. And it's interesting. When this news got to Saul, David says to him, "Let no man's heart fail." Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. I'll go fight him. And, you know, Saul had been thinking all along, according to his fleshly mind, he couldn't grasp that God could help someone to defeat this man. He said, "You're not able." You know, I was thinking about having Enoch come up because he's young. But I think David was probably more the size of Jordan. But body-wise. But, you know, he goes in and he tells about the killing the lion and the bear, getting his lamb back. You know, David's kind of a picture of Romans chapter 5. David's life, when he talks about killing the lion and the bear. In chapter 5, verse 3, it says, I'll start in the beginning. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." It's like character and confidence. Character and confidence. You know, you're building character and confidence and trust in the living God. David, the great psalmist, the scriptures say he was a sweet psalmist. He could say, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And he says, "When I consider the heavens, the works of thine hand, the moon and the stars which thou ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him?" You know, he was out there You know, it's interesting. They came out with a new telescope. Did you hear that? The Hubble has been put away. They're coming out with a new one, and they can see further out now. And what they see is that the Big Bang Theory is not a very good theory. We knew that when we read the scriptures, right? But David saw the stars, and he probably saw, you know, here in York, you can't see them because there's so much light, but he saw the stars. He had an eye. He got a little grasp of how big God is. You know, he possibly heard about God opening up the ocean, the Red Sea. He heard about what happened in Egypt. You know, the Philistines heard. The people in Jericho heard 40 years. 40 years after they came out of Egypt, they were still shaking in their shoes because of what God did for Israel to bring them out of Egypt. And the Philistines, if you read earlier chapters here, they knew. He said, they knew when the people shouted when the ark come, they were afraid. The God of Israel is coming to the camp. These are the ones that did all this in Egypt. And then when they put the ark in with Dagon, God's not going to stand around with some other worthless god. It's interesting. The ark was there, and Dagon was standing there. And just Dagon was down on his face in front of the ark. It was like down like this in front of the ark. You know, man failed, but God, you know, there's no, their God was nothing. And so the next day, they stand him up. They got to stand up. Let's get our God up. Okay, get him up. And they go in the next morning early, and he's busted up. His head's busted off. His hands are broken off. So you know what they do? They don't step on the threshold where it broke off. And you remember that Goliath cursed David by his God, his busted up old God. But I was thinking about this. David's kind of a picture of our Lord and Savior, isn't he? You know, there's so much we could look at the Philistines. We could look more at them, where they came from and all that. Israel, there's a lot more could be said about them. Some of their, why the Philistines are still, they were left to be a test to them. They were left to be a thorn in the side, if you will, to Israel, because they had failed to put them out, to destroy them and destroy their gods. And not only did they fail that way, but they started to worship their gods. So God left the Philistines to be a thorn in their side. But David's kind of like the Lord in a way. Dad says, go see how your brethren are doing. Take this and take provision for them. Bring back a pledge. I want to know how the boys are doing. You know, if you young men and women, leave home, go out, mom and dad want to know every now and then how you're doing, okay? But David was obedient. He did what dad told him. And I was thinking the Lord did what his father wanted him to do right down to the end. He completed the work, everything that God wanted him to do. You know, there's a lot of places where it says just that. In chapter 6, for instance, and verse 38, it says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then John 4, it's interesting. When he was talking to the woman of the well, and the disciples come back, they bring him back food. in verse 31, in the meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Therefore the disciples, said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said, My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then if you go on, there's so many references to the work. But you get to chapter 13 and chapter 17, he says, I've finished the work. It was as well as done in his mind. But we heard this morning, about a brother Jeffy read in chapter 26 of Matthew. It was not easy for him. He was the God-man, He was the holy, righteous Son of God, and he was going to do the work. I thought it was really interesting. David says, let no man's heart fear because of Goliath, because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with him. It's interesting, in the upper room, the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. There was something wrong yet. There was something that had to be done, and he was going to make that place fit for us, but he had to go by way of the cross. And it's interesting. It's interesting in John 14:27 says, Peace I leave with you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And David here, let no man's heart fail. I will go fight for him. And then he has to tell about the lion and the bear. And the lion was probably a lot more awful a combatant than the giant. I don't know if some of you folks have cats, and our first cat we called Susie called him Buddy. Turned out that it was Mrs. Buddy, and she had 10 kittens. And it's amazing. I put a stick down on the floor, and as fast as I could move my hand like this, that cat was on that stick. And I've seen some cats. I saw a bobcat about this big. You don't want to get in a tangle with a bobcat. But I saw, I used to go mule deer hunting, and I was coming out this dry creek bed. There was a blood trail where somebody's dragging something out, deer out. And I looked down, and here was a cat track, and the front paw was as big as my palm. You know, they say that those kind of cats, a mountain lion, can jump 30 feet. How far is that from here, back to where Gene's sitting? They can jump 30 feet. But David says in verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord. Here was the thing that was going to beat Goliath. The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And then we have Saul trying to put the armor on. get his armor on. Now, can you imagine? Saul's maybe 6'6", and David's like 5'5", or something like that. And he puts it on, but he can't go. So he takes his staff and a sling, and he gets the stones. I think I would have loaded my sling. You know, I thought about that. But he goes out, and they have this. What they often do, fighters will do. I'm going to beat your face in, what Goliath said. Well, just come and try it, David says. But what they say, he says, he was looking for Saul to come out. He was looking for somebody in armor and a spear, and David comes out. There's a magazine that our brother in New Jersey put out, and they have David. He looks more like a boy in the picture, and he's got his staff and his sling. And the Philistines are kind of sitting on a rock ledge back here, and they're going like this. Look who come out. And that's what Goliath is doing. You come to me with a staff and a sling? And David says, you come to me with a spear and a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly, both Philistines and Israel, shall know that the Lord saves not with the spear and the sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. The Lord was the one that was gonna that killed Goliath. David was the instrument. David was the instrument that God used. You know, we have a lot of young men here, and we have a lot of good people here that are going on for the Lord. You need to keep living for the Lord. And you know, it's the world is like a river, and it's a hard tide, but you got to swim up the river. You got to swim against the tide, against the world, and you got to stand against the world. The world is not your friend. Chuck could tell you about the meeting they had at Warwick School District. They're not our friend, are they? They're not our friend. But they'll push in. They're pushing in. They want to be here just as much as anywhere. So we need to stand like David. And stand for the Lord. My time is gone, and I apologize for running over. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this story. We thank you that you're still the same God, that you're still on the throne, like we heard earlier, that nothing happens unless you give it the okay. We realize that the devil is getting more and more power. We can see it. We can see it in our schools. We can see it everywhere. Our country is, it's sad. But Father, we thank you that you're still on the throne. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come into this world. He was willing to do everything that you wanted him to do. And he did it completely. He did it perfectly. And we can trust in him. We, like David, we can trust in him. We can put our faith in him. He'll carry us through. Father, we thank you and praise you now for such a Savior. We thank you for your great love that would give your Son to do your will, to die in our stead. Father, today we just pray that your word might speak to hearts and even change lives. Father, we pray and ask that, and we thank you now in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.